worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for getting up for me, for dying for me. I've been saying it all weekend. The song by Donnie McClurg is in my mind. Just for me. He came and did it just if it was only for me. Why? Because he made me to love me. You know he made you to love you. Aren't you glad about that? And my messed up self, the sum of my own thoughts. You know, I disgust myself sometimes, but he still made me to love me. Anybody grateful today? And thank you, in spite of all of the stuff that I put him through, he still keeps pursuing me. Aren't you grateful for that? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your unconditional love, for paying the price for us, for rising, Lord God, to justify us freely forever. And we thank you, Lord, that one day you're coming back for us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the promise of abundant life in the here and now. And it's all been worked through what you did on Calvary. We praise you. We honor you. Now speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes I know traditionally here at Encounter Life Church, first of all, let me welcome you to Encounter Life. Can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? Because I'm not done. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. But see, traditionally, I know we have a very conservative background, so some people feel very uncomfortable. Sometimes some people are very, very uncomfortable because, you know, some of y'all know there's somebody in your seat that hits you in your heart and you just itching to stand up and like, I don't want nobody to think I'm crazy. David said, I will become even more undignified than this. David told Saul, listen, I know what God brought me out of. I know he chose me over your family and he kept me and protected me. So look, I will, listen, you say I'm looking crazy in front of the people. I don't care because I know what he's done for me. And then when you recognize, Darian talked about it, that he's delivered you from a death sentence. Anybody ever know, if you've ever known somebody who's been on death row, anybody who's been pardoned and set free, we got a room full of people who've been pardoned, set free from death row. Now when you got set free from death row, look, you ought to shout to the top of your lungs and for you. Amen. Amen. When I think about all that he's done, what I was saying is sometimes we're very conservative and we're afraid, we kind of sit on a praise. I want to encourage you tonight, however God moves in your heart, express it and tell him thank you. Give him glory because he's deserving of your best praise. He deserves it. Amen. He's done too much for us. He stepped out of eternity into time to purchase our redemption. And so we ought to give him our best. From our lives to our worship, he deserves our best. For those of you who are guests again here at Encounter Life, we welcome you. We thank God for you being here with us today. Amen. We pray that you do encounter the presence of God in this place. We pray that's what our vision is, that everyone who comes here encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power in their life. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to manifest his power in your life. Anybody know that? Amen. So we pray that you experienced that today. We are glad that you came to worship with us today. We pray your hearts are blessed and that you are encouraged by what you hear today. Amen. Right now, we used to do this a long time ago, but COVID kind of threw all of that out. We would have a time where you just wait. We'd tell everybody, just go say hi to somebody. When do that again? I said, no, we do that. People don't sit down. And nowadays, everybody don't want nobody breathing on them anyway. So what I want you to do, on your row, if you see somebody, you know, listen, the person next to you, know that you're glad that they came to worship this morning. Just greet somebody next to you on your row, in your little section behind you, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all stay in your seat. Y'all still don't want to sit. Listen, look at her. See? Amen. Bless the Lord. Welcome to Encounter Life. If this is your first time, if you're online, first of all, those of you who are online, we welcome you. We give you a special round of applause for those of you who are online as well. We're glad you worship with us today. Can we put up on the screen how they can connect with us? If you are a first time guest here, all you got to do is text the word new to that number, 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. Text the word new to that number. For those of you who are here, for those of you who are online, and those of you who are here in the building, we are glad you worship with us today. We have a special gift for you. So if you have not, if you've been a guest before and you've never gotten a gift, if this is your 100th time and you've never gotten a gift, we want you to go back into the cafe immediately following service. I believe Sister Pat or Sister Lace will be back there, and they've got a gift for you, for those of you who are our guests here at Encounter Life. Amen? Amen. How many of you are ready to hear from the Lord this morning? Amen. On this Resurrection Day, we praise God that our Savior is alive. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Amen. On Friday night, we had an amazing time. On Friday night, those of you who joined us at the River of Life Church here in Temple Hills, we had an amazing time. I just want to give a huge shout out to our Encounter Life family. I didn't know that was that many of y'all in the place. And I said, is Encounter Life here? And I'm like, whoa, half the building is Encounter Life. Praise the Lord. So y'all showed up. We showed up. It was an amazing time where we did crime scene investigation, three pastors taking a scene from the crucifixion and just painting the picture. It was just an awesome time of worship and an awesome time of the word and fellowship. And it's amazing how, we don't like to go home sometimes here. The people had to kick us out of their church. It was like, man, we standing around, everybody, it was just the pastor and first lady. It's like, but these people going to go home or what? But we just had a good time. Amen. And so we just bless God. It's so good to see so many faces this morning and some that I haven't seen in a while. I'm honored to have you here this morning. And we pray that your heart is blessed by the word. Today is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, where we celebrate that our Savior is alive. And the thing about Easter, I'm so grateful for it. Easter, y'all know, is so funny. On Easter, the day before Easter, if you went to the mall, the place was packed. Everybody got to get their Easter outfit. I went to the car wash. I couldn't get my car washed because everybody wanted their car to look good on Easter Sunday. Amen. Anybody else had that problem yesterday? And it's amazing. And we do that, and it's amazing. I'm telling you, listen, I'm glad when anybody come to church, whether it's Easter, whatever day you come, we're glad you're here. But so often, it's not just for people out of the church, but people in the church, when holidays like Christmas and Easter, and a lot of times they come, sometimes we lose sight of the significance. It was Easter Sunday. We're going to have Easter dinner. We're going to have our Easter egg roll, or our Easter egg hunt for our young kids. And it becomes just another holiday. And we always say it. If you've been in church all of your life or a long time, you'll know that Easter, what happened on Easter? You ask the children, Jesus rose up from the dead. But the question is, so what? What is the significance for that for me today? Jesus rose up from the grave. Yes, that's an exciting thing to know. But what the question is, do you and I, have we lost sight of why that is significant and why it's so important? And I said it earlier, what is his name? Travis Green. I love this song. He got up so I could, get up again. When I recognized why today, we're going to come from the topic, rise up, because we got to understand that Jesus rose so that we could rise.
So that we can rise. And when I say rise, I'm not just talking about when we go to see him in heaven. I'm not just talking about that. A lot of times we talk about accepting Jesus in our hearts so that we can have eternal life. And that is true. But how many know he came that you might have abundant life here? Heaven is something that's already settled, but I got to get through every day. And God is calling us as those who are followers of Christ to rise up. Some of us who maybe never made a decision to follow Christ, you got to understand that Jesus rose up so you could rise up. And today we're going to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go there, verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17 will be our main place where we will be. We'll get there in a moment. But before we do that, just to kind of paint the picture of where we are today. What happened? Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rose up from the grave. What had happened to him? Good Friday, he died on Calvary. And I was given the charge on last Friday morning to talk about the crucifixion. And if you have never been aware of what Jesus went through on that cross, it was a terrible thing. But in order for us to understand why Jesus went through all of that cross, we got to understand, number one, we got to understand man's condition. We got to understand man's condition. Man's condition is that we are sinful and we are separated from God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it said, by one man sin entered the world, and then death came by sin. So death passed on to everybody. We were in a terrible fix. The Bible teaches us that we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Man has a sickness, and it's a sin sickness. Today, many of you know, as I'm in the medical field, I'm a doctor, I'm a foot doctor. And when people come to me, they come to me when they have all kind of issues and conditions. And when they come to me, they expected me to give them a diagnosis, and I have to assess the problem and give them a diagnosis. And sometimes the diagnosis is a little rougher than others. And some people have conditions that are more dire than others. And I'm here to tell you that we have a condition that cannot be fixed. It's a terminal condition, and it's a sin condition. Man has a condition. You and I have a sickness, and it's sinful. It is sin. But also God has a cure. God has a cure. There are sometimes patients come to me with conditions, and I have to tell them I don't have a cure. In fact, there is no cure. And it's sad. They come to me with certain things. Doc, how can I fix this? And I got to look at them and say, this is something you're just going to have to live with for the rest of your life. And they look at me, are you serious? I said, I wish. It frustrates me as much as it frustrates you, because I wish I could help you, but there's nothing that I can do to fix this problem. And I can see the pain on their face and the despair on their face. And I'm here to tell you, just like that, you and I had a condition, but I'm telling you, God has a cure for ours. In this body, there are going to be some kind of conditions. We're still trying to find a cure for cancer. We're still trying to find a cure for certain things that there's no cure for, but there is one cure for the sin condition. The only cure for the sin condition is the blood of Jesus. See, the blood, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, if you could put it on the screen, he said, listen, that nearly almost everything, the law says that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. I wanted to tell you why Easter is so significant. Easter is significant because you and I had a condition, and the only cure, that somebody had to shed blood. Pastor, why is that somebody had to shed blood? If you go back in the Bible in Genesis, God gave man an opportunity, and man with his opportunity chose himself over God, and he sinned. But because God still loved him, he gave a way to cover that sin. And what God did to cover man's sin, he shed the blood of an animal to cover man's sin. And in doing that, he established that sin could only be covered by blood being shed. And that's why throughout the Old Testament, you see all these sacrifices that were made and blood was shed. But all of those were just a shadow. All of those were just a placeholder to the one would come whose blood could really cover it all. Because it had to be somebody who shed blood just like us, but who had never sinned. And there's nobody who's perfect except God. So God became man, Emmanuel, and he allowed us to shed his blood. How much did he love you? Man's condition is that we were sinners separated from God. But listen, this is how much God loves you. That's why that song, he loves us. He is jealous for me. He runs after me. How jealous is he of you? We were separated from him, so he stepped out of eternity into time and allowed man to shed his blood. And what I always like to paint the picture of how his blood was shed. It's so important that you know that he went through a lot to purchase your redemption. He went through a lot. That's why we got to be very careful how lightly we treat what he's done. Because what Jesus did, he allowed, listen, he was betrayed by those who said they were his friends. He was betrayed. Not only that, Jesus, knowing he had done nothing wrong, he went through illegal trials. He went through unjust trials. He went through 6 different trials. They tried Jesus 6 times. And then what happened? They took a murderer over Jesus. They set a murderer free over Jesus. And then after he had gone through 6 trials, then it says they flogged and they beat him. They beat him with something called a flagrum, which is a whip that has leather strips and they have metal and bones and sticks at the end. And they beat him in his back and they pulled the flesh from his back. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Y'all know sometimes we talk about that crown of thorns and we see the picture of the crown of thorns. When we see the picture, it's like a halo. But the actual crown of thorns actually covered the whole scalp. It actually covered the whole scalp. It was like a hat of thorns. It covered the scalp. It wasn't just around. And if you look in the passage, it says they hit him on his head with the crown of thorns on his head. Thorns were 1.5 inches to 2 inches long. Can you imagine? Every time they hit him on his head, the thorns went in deeper. And the scalp is one of the most vascular areas, has some of the most blood vessels of any area of your body. So they had already beat him on his back, hit him on his head, the crown of thorns, pushing those thorns into his head, and he bled. Why? Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. That's why you can't take it lightly. That's why we can't take Christmas or Easter lightly. They beat him on his back. They beat him on his head. And then they made him put the crossbar of the cross, 80 to 110 pounds, they put it on his back. Made him carry his own cross to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. Somebody had to carry it for him. Then they get to the place of Golgotha, and they laid him on the ground, and they put his hands on that crossbar and nailed him to the cross with 7-inch nails. They nailed him through his wrist, because if you put it in his palm, it'll rip right through his fingers. They nailed it to his wrist right by that median nerve, and the pain went up his arms just for me. This is what he did. This is the cure. This was the cure for my condition. Greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. He didn't just lay it down. They abused our Savior. The one who spoke the stars in space chose to allow them to abuse him. They put the nails in his wrist, 7 inches and 3 to about 3/8 inches thick in his wrist and in his ankles. And they stretched him out on the cross so his lungs were in a fixed position of inspiration where he couldn't even breathe out. Some of you have heard me say this before. The Savior couldn't even breathe out. Arms stuck out like this, and he could only take short gasps of breath. Just for me. He saw you when he did it, because he knew you had a condition, and the only way it could be fixed is if I let them abuse me. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement that brought me peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. They put him on the cross. They elevated him on the cross, separating his shoulders, and he just sat there. He bled and he died. He actually suffocated because his heart couldn't function enough to pump all the fluid through. So he probably drowned in his own fluids. He was dead before he got off the cross. That's was the payment. That was the cure for your sins and my sins. But the good thing is that it didn't stay there. Like what we said, he rose up from the grave. He arose. Man had a condition, sin, separated from God. God has a cure, the precious blood of Jesus. But the last thing I want to tell you is this, not the last thing, but the third thing about this is, there's a condition, there's a cure, but now you got a choice. You got a choice. You and I have a choice. Can I look at my condition and then see the cure and take it, choose it, or do I continue to do what I'm doing? I said at the end, the Bible says, for by grace you've been saved. Grace is undeserved favor. It's something that you get that you do not deserve. He, by his grace, he saved us. His grace caused him to go to Calvary for me. Now I have a choice. What do you do with Jesus? And I encourage you, the choice, I put it up on here. I got an acronym for the choice that you need to make today is to rise. You got to rise. In our passages in 2 Corinthians, I want to read these four verses real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, Christ's love controls us. Paul said it compels us, it drives us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has come. What is the choice you have? The choice we have is to rise. Jesus rose, and now he rose so that you can make a choice to rise. That you don't have to live life. You don't have to live life on the mundane. God made it so that you can live life abundantly here and live everlasting. In order for you to rise, if you're here today, I don't know if you've never heard this before. Jesus rose from the grave so that you might have life eternal. But in order for you to rise, listen, number one, you got to recognize the greatness of his power. It requires, in order for you to rise from wherever you are right now, for those of you who have accepted Christ, you might say, I've accepted Christ in one way, at one time in my life, but I'm not walking in the abundant life. I'm not experiencing the abundant life. You may say, I've never come to accept Christ. In order for you to experience the life God has for you, one way or other, it requires you to recognize the greatness of his power. If he could rise Jesus up from the grave, what can he do in your life? He can raise from the grave, then what can he do in your life? Ephesians chapter 1, 19 and 20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and sealed him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Today, if you're going to rise from wherever you are, you got to recognize that God is a powerful God. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. That requires a change of your what? Mind. It requires a change of your mind. If you want to change anything, you change your mind, you can help change your world. This morning, my son DJ came up to me and said, Dad, I was just looking at this video, and they said, look, they have this system, this program. If you want to change your body, you want to change your life over the next 75 days, you got to do these things. And he said, number one, you got to work out 45 minutes twice a day. You got to drink a gallon of water. You got to change your diet. And you got to read you got to read 20 minutes of some personal development to help change your mind. That will help change your world in the next 75 days. And that last one, doing something to help change your mind will help change your world. I'm here to tell you, if you want change, if you want to be transformed, you got to what? Renew your mind. If you want change today, if you came here on this Easter Sunday and you're like, man, I'm not liking where I am in my life right now. I'm not experiencing the abundance that I know God has for me. Number one, you got to recognize the greatness of his power. And in order for you to do that, you got to fix your mind. You got to begin to meditate on his greatness. Meditate on his greatness. Listen, that's why the psalm says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Recognize the greatness of his power. For those of you who are Christ followers today, you might have a burden. You might have something in your life that is bigger than you right now. Recognize the greatness of his power. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. Anybody else in here saved and been overwhelmed? Somebody in here saved this morning. You overwhelmed this morning. Amen. You overwhelmed. Like, how am I going to get it done? I don't know how I'm going to get the bill paid. I don't know how I'm going to get my marriage fixed. I don't know how I'm going to handle this job, these people on my job. Recognize the greatness of his power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If he rose Jesus up from the grave, man, he can rise you up in your situation. And you got to recognize the greatness of his power. Today, if you've never come to know Christ as Savior and Lord today, it doesn't matter how far you've gone from God. It doesn't matter what you've done. Recognize if he can raise Jesus up from the grave, man, what can he do in your life? There's nothing too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for him? That's why in Philippians it says, I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me strength. Everything that God has called me to do can be accomplished. Why? Because I don't have to depend on my power, but I depend on his power. Today, if you're going to rise on this Resurrection Sunday, if you're going to rise from the situation you're in right now, you got to recognize the greatness of his power. And I encourage you to remind yourself regularly of his power. Because sometimes you can forget. Amen. Anybody ever forgotten about how great his power is? Because sometimes the problem, the giant looks big. It looks bigger than God. And sometimes I have to continue to remind myself. Go back on in the history of what God has done in your life before. And if he's done it before, how many know he'll do it again? Today on this Easter Sunday, if you're going to rise, you got to recognize the greatness of his power. But in order for you to rise, you must immerse your heart in God's grace. You must immerse your heart in God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 said, God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. If you're going to rise, you got to immerse your heart in God's grace. Stop trying to earn it. You'll never be good enough. God said, I did it. I died for you, not because you earned it. See, we started this with grace. He said, for by grace you've been saved. We were saved by grace through faith. Now, how is it that sometimes once we, there are some of us today who come to God by grace through faith, and now we trying to maintain by works. Right now, remember his grace. Because you didn't do it right today, that's what, guess what? He didn't stop. He's still loving you. What he's doing for you is not because of your effort. You got to immerse yourself in his grace and stop trying to be worthy. Stop trying to be worthy. What I understand about God is this. What is so good about what helped me understand this is that no matter how bad I mess, I can't mess up bad enough for God to stop loving me. It's all about his grace. It's all about his grace. So today, if you're here and you say, I've heard people say, man, I'm not coming to church because I got some stuff I want to get right first. I'm not going to come to God because, I know I probably need to turn my life over, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. How many of y'all know what I'm getting ready to say? Y'all have heard me to say, if you don't want to be a hypocrite, then you need to definitely stay out of church because church is full of hypocrites. Amen. All of us are hypocrites. That's why I need to be here. If you're trying to say, you're trying to get yourself right, God said, no, it ain't about any of that. It's just by my grace, my unmerited favor. And you must immerse your heart in his grace. Open your heart to his grace. Stop feeling, for those of you today, if you're at home and you're feeling unworthy, like, God, man, I know I messed up. And you're trying to earn your righteousness. You're trying to do better so that God will be more accepting of you. Guess what? He is not going to be any more accepting of you today than he was yesterday. If you do everything right, guess what? He's still loving you the same. It's all by his grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Galatians 2:20. I love this. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, there was no need for Christ to die. If I had to earn it, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. It's all by his grace. He said, why? Because he said, I've been crucified with Christ. When I was on the cross, he took me with him. He said that God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I was there, and when he died, I died. And when he rose, I rose. So now what? He rises up within me. And now I live by God's grace. So when he sees me, he just looks at Jesus. He don't see Dwayne. Thank God he don't see Dwayne. It's all by his grace. Today, if you feel like you're far from God, you're not sure where you stand in your relationship with God, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that he could extend his grace to you. So that he can give you the righteousness of Christ and take our rotten sin. So that when God looks at you, he no longer sees you anymore, that he sees his Son. Today, if you're going to rise, number one, you got to recognize the greatness of his power. Number two, you must immerse your heart in God's grace. Number three, you must surrender your life to God's love. You must surrender your life to God's love. Look, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is his love. You got to surrender your heart to his love. Man, it's easy to surrender to somebody who's going to love you like that. See, grace is one thing. Grace is unmerited favor. When you get something you don't deserve. Love is a little bit different. That's an affection. See, my son, I'm going to give you an example of grace. Grace, my son, we gave him grace. I told y'all about, where's Andrew's not here. I can use Andrew as an example. Amen. Andrew got grace. Andrew get grace all the time. Grace is a gift you don't deserve. I said it the other day. My son Andrew got a gift from Tracy's cousin that he didn't deserve for Christmas, and we went and picked it up. He didn't get it at Christmas, so we just went and picked it up last week. She wanted to make sure Andrew got this gift. But Andrew's gift was not given to him until his behavior was adjusted. And every day Andrew said, Mommy, can I open a gift? We said, Andrew, don't ask us to open that gift no more. When your behavior adjusts, then we'll give you the gift. He did not deserve the gift, but somebody gave him a gift. And the gift did not, he didn't get the benefit of the gift until we allowed him to open it. Grace is a gift. It's not because somebody can give you a gift, not because they love you. They just want to give you a gift. They can give you a gift that's undeserving. The other day I was at work. I was coming into the building and I was walking out of the park. I parked my car and it was a guy who was emptying trash out of the dumpsters. And I had this big 50-ounce essential alkaline water, big 50-ounce water. I'm trying to drink more water. And I'm walking in. It was a hot day. It was like 80 degrees. And he said, man, I wish I had me one of them. And I'm walking along, and I said, y'all know I ain't want to give him that water. I said, here, bro. I threw him the bottle. He said, nah, you don't have to. I said, man, go. You good. I'll get another one. He said, man, God's going to bless you. I gave him a gift. Did he deserve it? I don't know the man from Adam. I don't know if he was going to break in my car. But what, I gave him a gift. Did I have love for him, any special affection? No. I gave him a gift. That's what grace is. It was undeserved. Love is something else. Love is when God pursues me. See, love, y'all know what great, y'all know love. Some of you who are married or in a relationship, when you got somebody who does what is in your best interest and they have affection for you, he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurt. See, I didn't run after the guy to give him the water. I said, hey, here's a gift. But love said, I'm going to run after you because I want to do what's in your best interest. And when you got somebody, and it says what you got to surrender your heart, your life to his love. When I know, look, I'm willing to surrender my life to her love. Why? Because she loves me in spite of me. She loves me even when I get on her nerves. She loves me. I got on her nerves last night. She told me this morning. I knew it last night, but I wasn't going to say nothing because I was so tired I didn't want to get into it. Amen. But last night, y'all know we having people over for Easter. And last night, I'm just trying to get my mind ready and get things ready. And things need to be prepared in the house. And she said, I need you to do such and such. I said, honey, I'm trying to get ready for tomorrow. And she said, you know what? She ain't say nothing till this morning. Because what? She said, you did everything. You went and got your car washed. You did all that. I said, I thought you were going to go home and get the house cleaned up. And you did everything else. And now it's like, I work. And she worked yesterday. She worked, she did hair, and you say you had freelance. You just went driving around to the store everywhere, and you get home, you're tired. Now you tell me you got to get ready for tomorrow. I said, you know what? You're right. But guess what? She's still going to love me unconditionally. Even when I don't do it right, she's going to keep loving me. And so why? You know what I want to do? I want to do the best, whatever I can to provide for her. To make sure she's cared for. Why? Because she loves me unconditionally. So it's easy for me to surrender my heart to her. Listen, when you understand he stepped out of eternity into time, that's pursuing me. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me. I messed up. And he said, I'm not going to stop till I get you back. Oh, that's love. Kind of reminds me of the prodigal son. The prodigal son said, God, Dad, I want all my stuff now. I don't like living under your roof. Give me my inheritance now. When he's telling that, he's essentially saying, I wish you were dead. I want my stuff now. Let me go. The father loved him, said, look, go take it. He left. He did whatever he did. He messed up his life, and his father never turned his back on him. One day, the son said, man, I need to go back home. And the Bible tells us when he went back home, the father saw him a long way off, which means the father said, I never stopped loving you. And so when he came home, the father ran to him. Even though you told me you wish I was dead, even though you took your stuff and didn't do what I asked you to do, you're still my son and I love you. And so I ran to you, and I didn't say I told you so when you came home. He said, my son who was lost is now found. Let's kill the fatted calf. We're throwing a party. He pursuing him. And when somebody pursues you like that, you got to surrender your life to them. Surrender your life. That's why Paul said, I hope that you understand the magnitude of his love, that your roots grow down deep into his love. That's why our passage today in 2 Corinthians 5 said, Christ's love compels me. I'm controlled by his love. Not my love for him, but his love for me compels me. When I think of all that he did, I got to surrender my life to him. You don't take that lightly. If you're going to rise today, for those of you who are Christ followers, those who don't know where you stand in your relationship with God, if you're going to rise from your situation, you must recognize the greatness of his power. You must immerse your heart in his grace. Stop trying to earn it. You got to surrender your life to his love. To his love. When y'all surrender my life to his love, I don't now want to take it for granted. When he loves me, I don't say, oh, he's going to keep loving me, so I'm going to just do whatever I feel like doing. Love doesn't do that. Yes, we serve a gracious God. We serve a gracious God, and I told you we ain't trying to earn it. But when I've seen his grace and I've been a recipient of his love, now I say, God, how can I live for you? After you loving me like that, I want to do what makes you smile. If you're going to rise, recognize the greatness of his power. Immerse your heart in his grace. Surrender your life to his love. And when you do that, finally, the letter E in rise is E. Then you can enter into his rest and experience new life. Enter into God's rest and experience new life. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. God's rest is there for people who enter. But those who first heard the good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest. And guess what, y'all? That time is today. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 in our passage, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. When you recognize the greatness of his power, then make the choice to immerse your heart into his grace. Surrender your life to his love. Then he'll allow you to enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. He who has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. We are born in a state of unrest. We're born in a state of being enmity with God. But when we make a decision to receive what Christ has done for us, he said, now you can enter into my rest. What does rest mean? It means I ain't trying to earn it no more. To be at rest means I'm in a position of peace, that I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, that I am sufficient in him. I'm not trying to do all the right things. That he said, Christ is enough. Now I can enter into his rest, and I'm safe. In the Old Testament, they had what were called cities of refuge. And cities of refuge were placed strategically in the land so that if somebody had committed a crime accidentally, and sometimes, like they say, somebody commits a crime and on a job, it was a workplace situation, somebody died on the job, and you actually hit somebody over the head by accident at work, and the person died. Well, that person's family who died may want to come after you and kill you. So what they did is that they allowed you to leave town, and you could go to what's called a city of refuge so that nobody can harm you there. Once you were inside of the city of refuge, you could be at rest. There was a crime that was committed, and people may be coming after you, but in order for you to escape the penalty, you had to go to a city of refuge. Entering into God's rest is now you're entering into his refuge. You can be at rest. But not only can you be at rest, now he wants you to experience new life. If you're in Christ, we ought to live different. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And I live different, not because you make me. It's because I have surrendered my life to his love. See, after I have been a recipient of all that Christ has done, I don't want to live the same. Anybody got that testimony? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Not because I'm trying to follow some strict rules and regulations. It's because when somebody has pursued me and loved me like that, I want to find out what makes them smile. And when I find out what makes them smile, man, that's what I want to do. Now, are there some days when, like my wife, I want to find out what makes her smile. Are there some days that I don't make her smile? Yep. But my heart is, look, whenever I make her frown, I want to get it back. I want to get it right. How many know when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Amen. But when I do something to say, listen, it hurts her heart, I want to make sure I get it right. Why? Because I know she loves me and I love her. Whenever I do something against God, I ought to want to get it right. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. But I'm telling you, after I looked at what he did on Calvary, I cannot perpetually stay in a state of wanting to be rebellious against him. He rose so I could rise. Recognize the greatness of his power. Immerse your heart into his grace. Surrender your life to his love. Enter into his rest and experience the new life that he offers. Today, as I get ready to close on this Resurrection Sunday, I offer the new life to you. There's somebody who may be here today, and you might have been trying to be a good person. You may have been hoping that at the end of your life, you will one day rise because your good outweighs your bad. I'm here to tell you, your good outweighing your bad doesn't work in kingdom economy. Because what happens is, I can never be good enough for God, because God's the only good enough for God is perfection. That's why Jesus came. Jesus had to come because none of us were perfect, so I can't earn it. Immerse yourself in his grace. Stop trying to earn it. I'm here to tell you, if you've been trying to rise and hoping one day you'll rise because of that, it's not going to happen. The only thing you have to do is recognize God's great power, immerse your heart in his grace, and submit yourself to his love. Make decision to choose Christ as Lord of your life today. Amen. Can you all do me a favor? Can we all stand together? Can you all stand with me? I want to give somebody an opportunity to enter into God's rest. I want to give someone an opportunity to enter into God's rest today. His love is available. His grace is here for you. But you got to immerse your heart in it. You got to surrender your life to it. He wants you to experience abundant life. But before you can even experience the abundant life, he wants to give you everlasting life. And the only way you can receive the everlasting life is to accept the gift that he's offering to you. If we could, all over the building, if we could close our eyes and bow our heads at this time today, on Resurrection Sunday, would be no greater day for you to rise. To rise from the position of darkness to light. To rise out of trying to earn your salvation to receive the grace that God offers you. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Lord of your life, you're not certain where you stand in your relationship with God. You're not sure that if today we're in and you never made it home, you're not certain if you would go to spend eternity with God in heaven. You're not sure if you would go to spend eternity separated from him in a place called hell. If you're not certain where you stand and you want to be sure of that today, I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation for you, give you an opportunity for you to invite Christ into your life, to receive his grace, to surrender your life to his love. If you've never done that before, I want you to repeat this after me. It's a simple ABC prayer. A, admit that you're a sinner separated from God. B, believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he was buried and he rose again to make you right with him. C, choose him to be your Savior and Lord. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if this prayer expresses the desire of your heart, if you'd like to invite Christ into your life today, here at home, if this expresses the desire of your heart, I want you to repeat this after me silently. Just say to the Lord, dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again just for me. Today, I choose to invite Jesus Christ into my life to save me of every one of my sins and to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart and you really meant that, won't you just pop your hand up for me really quick right where you are? We want to pray with you and for you. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant that, we want to pray with and for you. If you could raise your hand right where you are. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and said, listen, I want to accept Christ as Lord and want him to forgive me of all of my sins. I see that hand. Is there somebody else? Somebody else? Somebody else said, yes, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. That's me. That's me. If that's you, won't you raise your hand right where you are? We want to pray with you and for you. Give you some materials to help you grow in a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. The next call is for the person who said, Pastor, I'm saved. I've accepted Christ. But I know he wants me to rise. I haven't been walking in the abundant life, and I want to recommit myself to him today. I want to re-immerse myself in his grace and his love and to be reminded daily of his power. I want to recommit my life to walking with him. If you're a follower of Christ and you say, today, Pastor, I want prayer. I want to recommit my life to you, to Christ. If that's you, won't you raise your hand right where you are? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let us pray for you and with you. Somebody today say, I want to recommit my life to Christ. Amen. I see that hand. Somebody else. Somebody else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what we're here for. Anyone else say, look, I want to recommit my life to walking with him. If you're at home and you prayed that prayer that I prayed earlier, can we put it up on the screen, fellas? This is what I want you to do. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to go to the links on the screen. You can just text the word next to 301-804-2520. Text the word next to 301-804-2520. Or you can go right to our website, encounterchurch.net/next. And let us know, number one, if you receive Christ, the Savior and Lord today. Number two, if you'd like to recommit your life to Christ. Finally, third thing is you say, listen, Pastor Dwayne, look, I've been looking for a church home. I've been fellowshipping here for a while, whether online or in person. And I'm interested in making Encounter Life my church home. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand? Right, won't you raise your hand so we can have someone talk with you? You say, look, I want to officially make Encounter Life my church home. I've been looking for a place to call home, and I think this may be it. I just wanted some more information, someone to talk with me. If that's you, won't you raise your hand? We'll have someone talk with you as well. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Amen. If home, you could do the same thing. Go right to that link on the screen, and you can let us know that as well. Amen. Finally, this, listen, if you raise your hand for either one of those things, I'm going to ask Sister Tanya Fuller, could you come up front for me, please? I'm going to ask, where's Brother Damon Prather? Could you come up front for me, please? Amen. If you raised your hand for either one of those things, we want you to come right here. I want to have Brother Damon, Brother Sister Tanya, and to come and pray with you and for you. If you raise your hand, I want you to come boldly. Come boldly to up front. Amen. Amen. For those of you who raised your hand this morning, we're going to have them come and talk with you as well. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your love for us, for your unconditional love for us. Thank you for going to the cross for us, for the price that you paid for us. Thank you for hanging there for us. And God, help us now to live for you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.